Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that I believe should grasp the attention of each and every individual. Slave states versus free states. We have 2 states at least in America today, the state of Florida and the state of Texas, that are free states. We have governors that have taken a stand and said, we'll have no mask mandates, we'll have no COVID pass mandates or requirements. In fact, in the state of Florida, Governor DeSantis has said, not only the government cannot require you to have government, that is the state, cannot require you to have a COVID pass, and he is also saying that nor will they allow in the state of Florida, will we allow a business to require you to have a COVID pass to enter the business. And we're looking at the 2 states, state of Texas and the state of Florida, that are truly free states. And when I do use that identification, we have the other states for the majority. There are others that are taking some stands. Arkansas has taken a stand recently saying they passed legislation. There'll be no mask mandate. The mask have been found to be a, quote, masquerade across America, and it has probably destroyed more health than anything we could ever consider. But right now we've been talking about the fact of the voter ID law in the state of Georgia. We have as our special guest today, former Congressman for District 1, Florida representative in the state of Florida for District 1, Mike Hill. Mike is with us. Mike, I'm looking at a little note that I have simply outlined myself, that when it comes to ID, we need ID when you open a bank account. We need ID when you enter most federal and state buildings. We need an ID to enter the stadium or the sports arenas. We need an ID to buy a car. We need an ID to get adult beverages. We need an ID to get medical treatment. We need an ID to go to medical. In fact, I was at my doctor's office yesterday for some blood tests, and they had to have my driver's license, a picture ID, was required for them just simply to fill out the documentation and allow their assistant to carry out the blood test. We need a blood test. We need to have medical attention. We need an ID in order to do so. We need an ID card to get on an airplane. We need an ID to buy a home or to get a mortgage. We need an ID to apply for food stamps. And so, Congressman, what's wrong with an ID to vote?
There's nothing wrong with it, and it is simply a ploy by those on the left and Democrats to, again, make an issue based on race. We need an ID for just about everything that we do nowadays. To buy a home, you mentioned you need an ID. I recently took an exam, a national exam, become a mortgage loan originator. I could not take the test without an ID. So this nonsense to say that you need an ID to vote is somehow discriminatory is utter nonsense. And it is something that we need to make sure that we do not adhere to. When they start screaming racism, they start screaming discrimination, the first question back is, please explain to me how that is discriminatory. And then to hear them try to articulate how patronizing that is to black people, that for some reason, or people of color or poor people, that for some reason they don't have the ability to go and obtain an ID is absurd. And I would like to hear them say those words.
Yes, it is. I believe we have a call on the line. Maria, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. I was just calling about a couple of things I've noticed over the last couple of days. One of the things is Google did not do a doodle for Easter or the Christian holiday, and they always do something. And this year they did not. Also, there was a best-selling devotional that just came out, and it had in there a prayer that says, "Dear God, please help me to hate white people, or at least to want to hate them. At least I want to stop caring about them individually and collectively. I want to stop caring about their misguided racist souls, to stop believing that they can be better, that they can stop being racist." So that's a best-selling devotional that's out right now, praying to God for hate. And then the last things kind of all correlate. Last Thursday before Easter, on the ticker of almost every single newscast, there was something about those satanic little NOS shoes. And all over the ticker, they kept talking about the 666 pair that they're trying to sell, and the 666 pair. And another sign towards the devil. Also, Little Nas did that video just recently where he was sodomized by the devil, and Saturday Night Live thought it was politically correct the day before Easter to do a parody on it where they had a fake Little Nas character, and they had asked him to give God a lap dance, and it was done on TV. So I don't think that this world is ever going to turn around. I think we just need to pray for revival, because that's the only way anything's ever going to get changed, because this Titanic ship has hit an iceberg and there's no saving it. Also, with Coke and Delta and all of the stuff going on in Georgia with the voter ID laws, Georgia has 50% a black population, and Denver only has 34%, I believe. Georgia is rated number 3 on the black population, and Denver is rated like number 40 or something like that. So we're going to move something out of a predominantly black community to a predominantly white community, because it's racist to ask for voter ID.
That's a little, how would you say, unusual at the very least, and I believe that our congressman can respond to that, because we're finding the move from Atlanta detrimental to the black population, and yet it's the black population that they're supposed to be concerned about because of saying something about the voter ID. Congressman, how do you respond to that?
Well, Maria brought up a number of very good points, and that's exactly right. By moving the All-Star game, they are hurting a number of small businesses that depend on that All-Star game to make money, which includes a number of black-owned businesses. They're cutting off their nose to spite their face. The hypocrisy is so glaring. And how she mentioned that Google did not have on their site anything that pertained to Easter on Easter Day, it is so obvious that what we are seeing, even though this nation was founded on Christianity, that we are seeing an attack on Christianity in this nation before our very eyes. It's not something new. It started at least 50 years ago, closer to 60 years now, when they removed prayer out of our schools. We have seen an attack on Christianity that is just accelerating and moving at such a breakneck speed that it can be very concerning. And then she mentioned of the young guy who was trying to sell the Nike shoes with 666 on or whatever. I don't worry about that, Dr. Youngblood. Why? Because evil and Satan cannot defeat our God, our King.
Amen.
The one who is on the throne. You can rail against him all you want. You can kick against the goad all you want. You are not going to win this battle that God has for us. And we know the ultimate victory of what it's going to be. The Bible tells us that in the last days, there's going to be a great falling away, an apostasy.
Yes.
And we can see that in our churches now. We can see it in the nations. But also, there's going to be a great number of people who are going to be saved. And as Maria said, the answer has to be revival. Revival meaning turning back towards God, towards His Word, and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Maria, thank you so much for your call. And as I say so often, we need to keep looking up because our redemption draweth nigh. Congressman,
I just wanted to say one more thing. I really would like it if the black community or the community of brown skin would stand up to these people who continually tell you that you're too dumb to have an ID, you're too dumb to get on the internet, you're too dumb to do anything because you're not. And by sitting here and being silent, you're making the whole world think that you are.
Yes, well stated, and I believe that is so needful today, is the community that is now being, how would you say, put in a position of being told that you can't, you're not smart enough to get an ID. I believe that entire community nationwide needs to take a stand and say, I'm not going to be a part of the slave state anymore. I'm not going to be a part of the submission and surrender to the tyrannical government over us. We're going to come out of the plantation, if you will, and we're going to be a free people and show our freedom and flex our muscles, if you will, of our freedoms. Congressman, there's another thought that we have that I want us to talk about for some time, if we can, and that is with the COVID pass that's on the fast track now. And that's one of the things that Governor DeSantis, as you know, has taken a stand against. Governor of Texas has taken the same stand against it. Tell our listeners, when we say COVID pass, what is that? What does it connote? What does it lead to if we continue down that track?
Well, what it does is it says that you would have to have documentation that you have taken the COVID vaccine, and they're calling it a passport. And that documentation can be on your smartphone or even in paper form. And what it leads to, especially if it's on your smartphone, is it leads to population control. They know where you are at any period of time. And what that eventually leads to is the type of control that we see in communist nations, particularly in China, where your every bit of motion, where you are at any particular time, is going to be tracked. And that is certainly against our civil liberties, our right to be free. It's antithetical to everything that this nation stands for. And we see it coming out of New York and other states that have these left-leaning governors. And then we have in Florida, thank goodness, a governor who says, you're not going to bring that to Florida. You're
right.
Not going to require a passport to go on a cruise or to get on a flight or to go into a business or to go into a store to buy something, to buy food. And Texas governor has also stepped up, and I'm so proud of both of them doing that. Now, I will have to mention this, though, Dr. Youngblood, is that was done by executive order by Governor DeSantis, saying that a passport is not going to be required. The thing that I will say kind of bothers me about that is an executive order can be issued in the state of Florida, according to Florida Statute 525. It has to be done because of a state of emergency. Otherwise, it has to come from our legislative body. And so even though I like what the governor has done, I believe, this is my opinion, that he has overstepped his authority by declaring an executive order that a COVID passport would not be required, because he's only authorized to do that in a state of emergency. And perhaps in his mind and the legal advice he has received says that this is a state of emergency, where other states are saying that if Floridians don't have this COVID passport that they cannot fly, they cannot travel to other states. So perhaps he did, but I would rather see it being done coming from our legislative body and then the governor signing it into law as opposed to an executive order.
I'm in agreement with you. Making that statement, do you know of anything that's in the legislative channels today in the legislative session that would address that issue?
I haven't heard of it, Dr. Youngblood. It could be. They're late in the session right now, but it is possible to bring a bill to the floor of both the House and the Senate and to get it passed without going through a committee. I've seen that in the past, such as when they passed the very unconstitutional red flag laws after the Parkland shooting. It did not go through any committee at all. It went to the floor of the House and then of the Senate, and the governor signed it into law. So it is possible for it to happen. It might be in the works. I just hadn't heard anything about it at this point.
I had not either. In fact, before the legislative session, I had personally talked with four or five of our representatives and two of our senators, and one of them being Representative Sabatini, and they had all agreed to introduce legislation and co-sponsor the legislation to prevent any future governor or any future mayor of any of the cities in the state of Florida from issuing mask mandates or other executive orders beyond a 30-day period of time. Putting a limitation on executive orders by 30 days and anything beyond the 30 days would have to have legislative approval. But I've not heard of any action from any of the subcommittees or committees on that subject. I'm still praying that that's the case. Going back to the mandates, for example, in Virginia, Virginians are facing the mandatory, I'm looking at the headline, Virginians are facing a mandatory COVID vaccination, and the question is, will they resist? And then the article reads very briefly. It's about a five-page article, but about three paragraphs briefly. It is becoming increasingly obvious that COVID-19 pandemic is being used as a propaganda ploy to empower governments to seize control of the most elemental life choices of the American people. First, the lockdowns let governors, mostly Democrats and rhinos, determine who is essential and who wasn't essential, and gave them the opportunity to force the latter to stay in their homes and close their businesses among the tyrannical large and small. Tyrannies large and small. Next came the madness of the mask mandates that force people to wear masks wherever they need to conduct business. Neither lockdowns nor masks do anything to stop the spread of the virus, but they do psychologically condition Americans to be controlled and subjected to heightened tyranny over nothing less than the most fundamental activities necessary for life, including breathing. And it goes on to say, speaking to ABC News affiliate channel in Richmond, Virginia, Dr. Norman Oliver, the state's health commissioner, promised that he would mandate the, quote, jab in the arm. Dr. Oliver says that as long as he is health commissioner, he intends to mandate COVID vaccinations for everyone in the state of Virginia. How do you respond to that? Can they do that? Can we expect that on a universal basis, in your opinion? And what will that do to the, not just the psyche, psychologically speaking, but also to the physicality of the people that are forced to take the vaccination?
Well, first of all, Dr. Youngblood, he has no authority to be able to do that. And in fact, no government entity, no governor, no president, even a legislative body has no authority to force an individual to take something into their body forcibly, such as a vaccine or something like that. They have no authority to do that. That being said, they did not have the authority to do a lot of the things that they implemented during this whole COVID scare, such as mandating masks and dictating how many people can meet together, even at funerals or in churches. They had no authority. But what was so discouraging for me, Dr. Youngblood, was how many Americans acquiesced and gave in and complied with these unconstitutional, no authority behind them, mandates that came down. They complied with them to the point where people were staying in their homes. People weren't going to church. It was people wearing masks. Even to this day, you look around, people are wearing masks everywhere. I simply don't wear a mask, Dr. Youngblood, and unless I absolutely have to. What I mean by that is I was flying recently, and they would not let me get on the plane unless I put a mask on. And then I had to keep it on when I was in the plane. So in cases like that, there's not too much I can do, especially when my travel takes me a great distance. I have to, but to see so many Americans give up their civil liberties, get to give up their freedom, was very discouraging for me. But some health individual in a state cannot mandate that, yes, we are going to poke you in your arm and give you this vaccine, which, by the way, is still an experimental vaccine.
Yes, speak about that.
It's a vaccine that has not been fully vetted, and even those companies who develop those vaccines will tell you that it is experimental, that they do not know what the long-term effects of this vaccine is going to be. And I was watching a video on YouTube. I forgot the doctor's name. She's a brave doctor who spoke up early about the COVID and was saying that the proper treatment for it is hydrochloroquine and ivermectin, that those are the effective ways to treat this, and not what they were using earlier, such as ventilators and so forth, which are actually killing people.
That's right.
So she bravely sent out another video on YouTube saying that anyone under the age of 50, that she and a group of about 100 doctors total, and more are joining her, anyone under the age of 50 should not take the vaccine. And any woman of childbearing age should not take the vaccine. And then they go on to say that even up to the age of 70 or more, that they're not telling you that you should not take the vaccine. What they're saying is use your own individual judgment with that. But they do not believe that the vaccine is the proper way to go to try and stop this virus that is no more deadly than any other flu vaccine that we see happen every year.
That's exactly right. And Congressman, I'm looking at an article, says WHO, that's the World Health Organization, says there, I'm listening carefully for our listeners now, no guarantee that the vaccine ever prevents COVID-19 transmission, dated April the 6th, 2020, admitting to uncertainty over whether or not COVID-19 vaccinations prevent transmission of the virus. The World Health Organization now says that at the moment it does not recommend implementing so-called vaccine passports. The World Health Organization spokesperson on Tuesday also expressed concern about equity, noting that some people don't have access to the vaccine for various reasons. Quote, we as WHO are saying at this stage, we would not like to see the vaccination passport as a requirement for entry or exit because we have no certain stage at which the vaccine can't, we do not know a certain stage where the vaccine can even prevent the transmission of the virus. And it goes on to say, the governor, speaking of DeSantis in this article, the governor argued that the vaccine passports would create two classes of people. And his aim is to protect the rights and the privacies of the residences and allow the free flow of commerce in the state of Florida, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm looking at an article also that is a good indication. And by the way, Congressman, I'm sure you're aware of it, and our listeners may or may not be. Several hundred thousand in Europe have been gravely harmed by the vaccination, with blood clots, with deaths, paralyzation, sterilization. And the AstraZeneca vaccination has already been stopped in all of Europe as a result of that. But I'm looking at an article about a dear young lady, 25 years old, in America. Her name was Desiree Penrose, P-E-N Penrod, P-E-N-R-O-D, dated March the 10th. She put on her Facebook account, after the day after she got the vaccination, "The vaccine is killing me today. My arm hurts, beyond exhausted, headaches, stomach cramps, earaches. Multiple people told me that I look pale today. Yesterday I was fine, but today it's taking its toll on me." And now Facebook had the audacity to do an overlay over her statement and said COVID-19 vaccinations through many tests have been found to be safe and effective before they were ever approved, end quote. The 2 days after this young lady put that on her Facebook, she died as a result of the COVID vaccination. And thousands, I believe the number's now over 3,000 that have died as a result of it. Thousands upon thousands paralyzed, thousands upon thousands sterilized, blood clots, brain damage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And yet they're still pushing for the COVID vaccination. In fact, I find where it is antithetical to anything that would be called wise, but yet the Army dining facilities, the gym is asking soldiers to present a vaccine COVID vaccination pass or card before they enter into, and that's at Fort Bragg where they're asking them to do that, to go into the restaurant or to go into the gym. A soldier must present his vaccination card. So, Congressman, what do you say to our listeners? We've got about 45 seconds on the broadcast. What do you say to our listeners? And I know many of our listeners are Christians, conservatives, and patriots. How do we respond to all that we hear? Rather than being discouraged, what should we do? How should we respond as believers?
Well, first of all, Dr. Youngblood, I would encourage your listeners to not take the vaccine.
Yes.
Not have that that experiment put into your body. That being said, we serve a mighty God. We serve a God who will fight for us. And as Christians, we can say, O King, God will protect us. He will fight for us. And even if he didn't, we still are not going to bow down to you. We as Christians must be the ones who will stand up at the forefront in this nation and be the patriots who push back against this tyranny that we see coming at us.
Amen. Congressman, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
A half mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.